We're going to talk about honesty this morning. It's great to be here, family. This will probably be less of a doctrinal teaching. We'll look at some scripture, but more of testimony, more of an encouragement. A lot of things can come to mind when we say honesty. We think of not lying, being right in our business dealings. I'm not going to talk about that as much as far as outward deception. I'm not going to talk as much about having no filter. I'm not talking about that, where we don't have any grace or social appropriateness. I'd like to just share with you what God's been doing in my heart with regard to honesty. We might get to the notes. We'll see. For me, the journey in the last couple years, and I'd like to praise the group here for your part in this. I think I read a verse to you, Philippians 1:10, a year or so ago, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense until the day of Christ. And I praise the group here, and I want to reiterate that again, for being sincere. Thank you for being a catalyst in my life for honesty. I also work with a bunch of guys that, or a few guys, a small team. They're a catalyst for honesty too. Failures. So thank you for your part in that. I am going to mainly, probably in my story, and Heather would be okay with everything I'm saying, talk about marriage. It's going to be more from the guy's side. We'll talk about other arenas too, some, but that's the main thing. I'm not primarily focusing on honesty with regard to hidden sin either. That's not even what I'm talking about. That's very important. I think we're probably clear on that. We'll maybe touch on that if we go through the notes. If I were to convey to you where my wife and I have grown and where I want us to grow, we've been married 25 years this year in August, and that's a lot to celebrate. But as those of you who are married know, communication isn't always easy. And you can hit barriers. You can start to form scripts in your marriage where you say one thing, you can anticipate what the next person, what they're going to say back. And you can build up these obstacles in your marriage where you're not able to proceed because you anticipate the barrier, and let's not even go there. There's things that are uncomfortable to talk about in marriage. In my case, maybe my wife's fears. Maybe hurts that I've caused. Maybe things, dreams of hers I've not been able to fulfill. And so what do? We don't talk about those things. We don't discuss those things. And that can make the barriers worse, and the frustrations can grow. There can be, for me, we'll touch on this briefly if we get to the notes. I'm more of a peacemaker personality. When it comes to leadership, that can be a problem too. Because when your family needs leadership, well, what can take priority is keeping the peace and making everybody happy. One blessing I have with my wife, one of many, but one for sure, is that she's always preferred when I'm honest and sincere. It doesn't always make her happy. And it can cause problems when I say what I really think. But me taking the easy road of keeping the peace has caused more problems. And over the past year or so, it's probably been less than that even, I felt like God's been pressing on my heart a desire for transparency, vulnerability, sincerity. And it's really been a new thing for me. And with regard to our marriage, I have a desire to break through those communication walls. And it's starting to happen. And thankfully, my wife is very responsive. All my wife wants is to be with me. I don't know how well you know Heather. She's an introvert. But one great blessing to me, she just wants to be with me. She just wants to be close to me. That's all she wants. You take everything else away, that's what she wants. So this is on me that we have not proceeded more in this area. But there have been pains in our marriage, and I just have not wanted to talk about them. It's too painful for me. It's not the road of peace, as it were. But over the last few months, I have decided, you know, I care enough now to explore those areas with my wife. Let's talk about that. And I've started to create the time. And guys, you've got to make time for your marriage. It takes time. You can't worry. Oh, yeah, provide, right? Be the man. Bring home the bacon. Great. That's important. Time. It takes time. And time not always just filled with stuff doing. Let's go out to see a movie. Let's go on. Yeah, let's go. Create a vacuum for communication. Not only that, but actively pursue with questions. And I've had to start to do this. You know, we took a trip for an anniversary a few years ago, and it was over a week long. And afterward, my wife told me, "Man, it's like you were just burned out the whole time," because we had a big project, a remodeling project, and she felt like the trip was wasted. That was painful for her. But I never asked her more about. I want to hear more about that pain. Teach me about what you felt in that moment. How was that painful for you? So I did that recently, and that meant a world to her that I would do that. We think that's going to cause more pain down the road, and maybe there are relationships in which that would be a more painful thing, to be honest. But for me, I've decided it's time to explore the heart of my wife. I would rather than walking two different paths, the path of truth that we don't talk about, and this path of the facade of things are going fine, that we never get down to what matters. You're never going to grow in a relationship if you've got those facades, if you've got a lack of transparency and vulnerability. Thankfully, I'm surrounded with people like you who've helped me to grow. The more vulnerable I can be with my failures, those are the things, right? We all talk about our successes and things that are going well. I'm doing great, you know. That's easy. That's not how we grow. It's when we take down that facade and we start to find the fellowship of, you know what, that's me too. I'm just afraid to talk about it, that we can help each other and come to the Lord together. So I care very much about the relationships in this room, about the marriages. You'll hear me ask you guys, you know, how's your marriage doing? It's because I care. It matters. It matters. The most important relationship on this earth. You know, is that marriage? You're building a family. You're building a community. You're it's Christ and the church in a picture, and we can't afford to go this whole life with just a shallow relationship with our spouse. It's a waste. So I'm very thankful for what God's done. Like I said, it's been kind of impressed upon me. This is not something that I've stirred up in myself. It's thankfully God has brought people like you and the guys at work to press me into this. And I realized that this life of honesty and truth, it's a possibility, and it's much simpler. You're living one path of truth, and it's very refreshing. Let's go through some of the notes here, but introduction. What are some barriers to honesty? And again, when I say honesty, we'll look at this verse, I think, but God desires truth in the inward parts. And I'm talking about being real with ourselves, about our fears, our desires, these different things that define us as a person. One barrier to honesty, as I mentioned, can be peacemaking. That can come at the cost of truth. We can want to iron out relationships to the point where we're just not really being honest. And again, men in our relationships, God has called us to lead our family. There are times when it's easier to say, not trying to be funny, but just yes, dear, you know. It's just easier to say that. But that doesn't give our family the direction they need. It doesn't give them the security they need in our leadership. I'm not saying you have to be a jerk, but God has called us to lead. Another scripture I read a few weeks ago was in Ephesians 5. This ties in my mind to marriage and what God's been teaching me about marriage. If my wife, she's a human, she's got struggles and failures and things she's dealt with from her past, who is going to help her with that? Who is biblically the one who washes her with the word? Whose responsibility is that? It's on me as a husband to shepherd and guide her and to help her with those things, not to avoid them, explore them. Let her know that I'm going to love her through those things. That's my responsibility. It's not fun always, but it's true love. It's true love. It's what God calls us to do. Fear of conflict. You know, honesty can cause conflict. Fear of man. We were talking at work the other day about why is it that sometimes it takes so long. We're in 30s, 40s, 50s before we realize that a path of vulnerability and transparency is the right path to take. When I was younger, I was a very spiritually minded person. I had much fear of man, though. And for me, I found my defining myself in my spiritual maturity, level of maturity, I define that by how others around responded to me. Oh, you're doing great. Yes, this is the standards you need to keep. Things like that. And it's almost like I didn't really know who I was because I relied so heavily on those around me. Fear of man brings a snare. And we're not honest with God if we're looking to those around us. What did Jesus say to the Pharisees? You know, you've got this great outward appearance. Inwardly, you're full of bones. You're not real. There's no value in it. It's not long lasting. It's very easy to please man. But like I mentioned earlier too, we can do things thinking that it'll impress others, not realizing that they themselves have the same struggle. And it's be foolish for us in this kind of environment to not be transparent with each other. We need each other's help. We'll another bullet point later. But it's a waste of our time and a waste of our life to not be honest with each other. Josiah and I have had great fellowship over our work lives. And we feel sometimes at our work, Josiah and me both, like we're not contributing. And we've been honest about that, and we've been able to help each other through that. That's been a great strength. I could always just say, oh, work's going great, no problem. Look at the loss I would have. I wouldn't have Josiah being able to help me through that struggle, and vice versa. Secret sin, I think that one's pretty clear. Flattery is another barrier to honesty. Manipulation, and I didn't spell it right. Manipulation, maybe, and this is you know, we can all off, we can say things to, or not say things over a period of time because we're trying to manipulate somebody to go a certain direction. And we're not, it's an intentional thing. It might actually become kind of subconscious over time, but we can try to guide someone's life or guide a relationship in a way. And really, we're just selfishly trying to achieve a certain outcome. What are some of the benefits of honesty? So we talked about the barriers. Simplicity. It's been said that, you know, liars have to have a good memory, for example. You know, honesty, living a life of truth within ourselves and before others is just it's an easy, simple life to live. I thought of there's four verses I want to read that have the word double in them. Double-minded, double-tongued, you know, and the complication of having two different things going on, being unstable in that way. I'm going to read these verses. I think they're all listed up there. Psalm 12:2. They speak vanity, every one with his neighbor, with flattering lips and with a double heart do they speak. 1 Timothy 3:8. Likewise must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, We need to have one message coming out of our mouth. For me, I talk a lot. I talk too much in general. And we think of honesty sometimes. For some of us, honesty is going to mean speaking more, speaking up a little more. You know, what do you really think? Well, you need to say it. Speak the truth that's in you. For me, often, it's meant speaking less. My words are often, they're empty because I'm trying to just pacify a situation. Or I'll say things to that's praising someone that's, I don't really mean it. I just want to make the relationship, you know, comfortable. For me, I've learned, don't talk so much. The benefit, of course, like especially in a close relationship like marriage, is your spouse starts to trust your words more. They know that when you say something, you mean it. It's come to, for me even, and I mean, I love my wife clearly, and I prove that with my actions. But I've started to think more before I say I love you to my wife. What does that really mean? I don't just, oh, it's this phrase we just throw. I love you. I love you. Am I thinking about what I'm saying? At the very least, I should think about it. James 1:8, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. James 4:8, draw nigh to God. Talked about that last week. And he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Catalyst for others, to be honest. One of the brothers I work with has had a lot of struggles, and he is in a good church, and he's in a men's group at church, and he's learned. This brother of mine, brother in the Lord, has learned to be honest and to value honesty. And he, at this brother's meeting, the first meeting or something, he just told everybody right where he was at. And really shocked some of the men. Like, oh, is that what this meeting is going to be about? But he said the rest of the meeting was people just starting to confess and to share and to open up with each other. Confess your faults one to another, James 5, and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Honesty, like I mentioned earlier too, we all have these struggles and we assume that, oh, they don't have that problem. Are you sure? Be honest. You'll never know what kind of a fellowship you'll gain. Fellowship. That's my experience. Able to get help. If you're struggling with something, how are you going to be able to get help unless you're honest about where you're at? Thank you for helping me. Joel's helped me raise my kids. Thank you for helping that. We've had discussions that have really helped me. Really appreciate that. With whom should we be honest? Try to be grammatically correct here. With whom? Okay. Ourselves. This is important. It sounds trite, but really, Scripture talks about deceiving ourselves. We can get to the point in our lives where we've lived a lie or trying to please people so long, we don't even really understand who we are. God knows. There's only one of you. Who is it really? Brother of mine in the Lord, he went through a divorce, and afterward he realized that it was a really messy situation. He realized afterward that one of his main struggles through the whole marriage was that he never was honest, and he's always trying to pacify the situation. And he realized after, he was actually getting some counsel, and the counselor said, you need to find out who you are. You don't even know who you are. There was no honesty there with himself. He just always focused on, oh, I gotta, you know, like whack-a-mole. Just keep the peace. Psalm 15:2. It's a great psalm. Verse 2, he that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness speaks the truth in his heart. He that walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart. Our spouse, very important. And I, again, men, I would really encourage you to come up with questions that help your wife be honest. You know, we're talking about ourselves being honest. We need to help our wives be honest. It's not easy, you know. My wife needs to feel safe and like I really am listening, and that takes time. It takes the distractions being put away, and it takes focus, but that's not always enough. Some questions. Explore. Prove to her by your questions that you're really interested, and then listen. Just listen. And over, it'll take time. This is not a one-time thing. Over months of this, you might start to see openness that you never thought was possible. It's our job, man, in our church. Ephesians 4:25. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. Why? For we are members one of another. Part of one body. I was pleased to find kind of a parallel passage in ZEC. Is that Zechariah? I didn't write the whole book name down. 8:16. These are the things that ye shall do. Speak ye every man the truth to his neighbor. That was a good parallel passage. Execute the judgment of truth and peace in your gates. With God. Psalm 51:6. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. I was talking with Heather, and she mentioned on this point that Jesus came and said, it's not those who are well that need a physician, but those who are sick. Well, the point there we could see is everybody was sick, but they weren't honest about it. They were double-minded. They had this impression they were trying to give out. It was that we all needed it, but Jesus came to help those who are willing to admit it. Another angle to this, and I may have shared this with some of you over time, is an article called The Hidden Hope in Lament. Somebody wrote it up a while ago, but it really helped us many years ago. Heather and I were going through a real difficult time of trusting God. And this particular person talked about the Psalms and a lot of songs that we sing and how David in the Psalms was honest with God about his disappointments with God. And we feel like, oh, you know, God's up there, I'm down here, I want to be respectful. And he knows our hearts. And it's an expression of faith to God when we turn to him in disappointment. Who do you turn to when you're really hurting? Even if you're disappointed with them, if you go to them, doesn't that establish the fact that that relationship is valuable to you? When you're disappointed with God, don't try to bury that and tell him, I don't understand. Why? Why? Without having an answer, just ask the question of him. David did that. Be honest. We've got to be able to work through these things. Be honest with God. I'm almost done here. I'd like to leave a little bit of time. What are some things, or what do we tend to avoid? Some subjects, and these are things that maybe would be questions for marriage, or not questions, but subjects to explore. Fears. Dreams, failures, regrets, and grief. We've some death in a family here. Grieve it. Don't be afraid to grieve that. Reach out for help. Sharon and I were talking earlier about, and I don't understand. I've not had someone as close as she has die. But it's important to be honest about how you're feeling in that way. You're going to get help. People can surround. You know, one member suffers, the rest can come around and help you and suffer. Transparency and honesty. I think that's actually all I have. So my encouragement to you, first of all, is that, again, thank you for being, in my life, a catalyst for honesty. So many relationships in this room, people, I'd feel like I could go to any of you, literally, and tell you exactly how I'm doing. Thank you for asking how I'm doing. And then also, I mean, I hope we can all get something out of what we talked about, but particularly to the men who are married. Be honest with your failures, your dreams, with your spouse, and help her be honest. It's up to you to wash her and draw her forward. So. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth of it. Thank you for your son, who was even honest. Lord, take this cup from me, but not my will, but thine be done. Thank you for the truth of your word, that there is only one truth, and that we can adhere to it. Thank you for this group. Lord, I ask that you protect us in the world of deceitfulness that's around us. Protect our children. Help us to be leaders in honesty. We love you in Christ's name. Amen. So, inputs very